All right. Hey, can we give a round of applause for our worship team one more time and just praise God for a time to worship. Okay, before I actually begin, can I just have a, if we have Daniel and Karen here. Daniel and Karen, can you stand up real quick? I know it's kind of odd and, you know, I don't know what's going on, but do you guys know they are getting baptized next week? All right. What does that mean? Praise the Lord. Okay, very good, very good. You can be seated. Okay. So, my name is Rick Sun. I am serving in college ministry at Asian American Baptist Church. You guys know ABC? Maybe? No? It's okay. You know, I'm from that church. It's such a privilege to be here. And you know, saying I'm super excited to be here is a total understatement. You know, I have heard a lot of good things about your church, and especially your pastors. You know, pastor brothers here is serving faithfully, loving you guys. You know, you guys are very blessed. You know, nowadays it's really hard to find pastors serving faithfully. So make sure you show love to your pastors. You know, give them not a kiss, but a hug. Show your love and affection to them, all right? Help them to continue to serve alongside with you guys. Now, I also want to just take a moment to thank you so much for inviting me. I want to get everything out of it before I jump into the message. And even just allow me to see how much God has been working in the midst of this community with his unceasing favor. Now, talk to the person on your right so that, hey, you're blessed. Dude, come on. Are you guys awake? Talk to the person on the other side you don't like as much. Hey, be grateful. Good. Now, I'm going to share a little bit about my family real quick and briefly. All right, so this is my family. Aw, so cute. This is my wife, Jocelyn. We're college sweethearts. We've been married for 8 years. You know, the best decision I made in my lifetime. Next to trusting Jesus. Amen? No man? Amen? All right. And we have 3 kids. Kyra is 3 years old. Oh, sorry, 7 years old. Leora is almost 4 tomorrow. Yes. Celebration. And Zion is about 18 months old right now. So what a joy. And the reason I show you the picture is because this. The statistics actually show that if you show the picture when you speak, people tend to listen to you more. So we'll find out, all right? Try not to fall asleep. Follow along with me. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to jump into the message. And I will be taking a detour from the First John. I know you guys are going through the sermon series now. To Genesis 12:1-4. All right, if you have a Bible, you can turn it on with me. Genesis 12:1-4. I want to really focus on the topic of how can we live missionally in every days of our lives in such a season of Christmas, right? Advent season. What do you do that God has given you so many opportunities to be the light and salt in this very season that I don't want you guys to miss it? All right, let me pray and we'll dive into the message. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. God, we invite your spirit to come into our midst, breathe the life into our soul, that we know so clearly that the power of the spirit does not come from the preacher, it comes from the scriptures. Help us to saturate with your words this morning. I ask the Father you will continue to penetrate the darkness of our hearts. If we today, our heart is not the right place, we don't want to be here. God, soften that, break that through for us. And we're not here by accident. And I pray that this message wouldn't just be a motivational speech. It would be a life-changing experience for people to come to hear. The heart will perceive. The eyes will open. And ear will hear. Father, may you use this time for your kingdom and for your glory. Father, we love you. Pray all this in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen. So back in 2007, I know some of you probably heard the story before. There was a group of Korean missionaries. They went on to the trip to Afghanistan. So once they landed, hop on the bus and pick up the luggage, head to the destination. It's a medical mission. Halfway through, there was a group of men that came up to the bus, covered with the hoodie, armed with a rifle, and they were captured. And they claimed themselves as a Taliban, led by the notorious terrorist leader Osama bin Laden. And then over the 40 days of captivity, as you can imagine, they've been tortured, they've been slayed, they've been beaten up. They tried to convert them into Islam. And one of the leaders, Pastor Bay, just urged everybody, hey, don't give in and don't give up. So what he actually did is he pulled the Bible out, break it apart into pieces, insert that into each person's pocket. Just want to make sure that, hey, when you are feel weak, when you are feeling desperate, don't give up. Hold on to it, making sure that you are holding on to the hope. On July 25th, this pastor was executed. And a couple days later, another leader was killed. But by God's ferocious grace, August 30th, to finally bring the end to this international crisis. Now, it was like I said, some of you probably heard the story before. It's been over 10 years. It's honestly, for me, I still couldn't fathom and wrap my mind around what kind of motivation behind all these Korean missionaries. Like, what are they thinking, right? Do they not know that the Middle East is a war zone, that every day there is a war and battle striking out left and right? Who in the right mind will go into such a place to put your lives in danger? And how could their faith be so radical enough and they're willing to pay the cost of their lives? So my question for you this morning is, what about you? I know you may not have been to Afghanistan, but have you ever put your faith on the line for God's mission and kingdom? You know, John Piper ever said this: mission exists because worship does not. And we need to be reminded that our mission actually started at the moment when we profess our faith in Jesus Christ. It is a simple and clear command from our God. But the question today is that, do you know your mission? What is the mission of God appointed you, only you can accomplish? How can we as a Christian fulfill the call of God to live missionally in every day of our lives? So today, we're actually going to find the answer from Genesis 12, 1 to 4, through the divine encounter of God and Abram. This I consider as one of the most pivotal message that I found in the Bible. And here's the big idea. If you forget everything that I say today, you know, take this away. You know, to live a missional life is to be the church in every day of our lives. Okay? And I got 3 points for you. The first one is the encounter with God. The second, a promise from God. And a response to God. And if you don't mind, let's all stand to read the word of God. We shall receive our scriptures this morning. That's all right. There you go. I know. Kind of weird, but it's a good exercise for us to read the Word of God together as a body of Christ. All right. That's all read together, all right? Verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, everybody, let's go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. All right, you may be seated. Good job. Hey, thanks so much for your energy. You know, from verse 1, we see that the Lord spoke to Abram, right after gates. And then you have to understand that when every time when God speaks, this is the very presence of words of God. I'm not talking about a casual and random conversation. The scripture actually makes it so clearly that this is the God of all creation, the universe, who reveals himself, who initiates and chooses people like Abram to go and accomplish his mission. And then just a footnote. If you remember that in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations, the scholars actually said that this is the same command from the New Testament in Matthew 28. The goal is the same meaning as a command. And this divine encounter with Abram is setting the stage for the entire Bible to change the history of humanity. That every single time when God speaks, what happened? Miracle happened, right? When God chooses people, what happened to the people? People become powerful. In other words, when we have the face-to-face encounter with God, our lives will be transformed into a man and woman of mission. So as I was preparing for this message, it's one thing that I really are grateful for is God is always allowing me to encounter him once again. And I still remember back in 2008, I went on to a mission trip to Bolivia. But one of the things that you have to know that I have this habit I love to do on the airplane. I know you guys just fall back to sleep, watch the movie, listen to music. What I do is, since the person sitting next to me was stuck with me for hours, right, if it's a long flight, what do? You share the gospel. They can't go nowhere, right? They'll go to high in the restaurant. So a few days before the trip was taking place, I found out my visa was actually still impending. And I was like, what should I do? I called the leaders, and the leader told me to, hey, continue to pray and trust in God. And so I talked to my wife, and we prayed, and we decided to still go without visa. So once we landed and standing in the soil of Bolivia, and so after 2 hours of negotiation with the customs, what actually found out is that one of the leaders actually tried to bribe them with the money. And I was like, is that even legal and biblical? But anyway, long story short, they came back and told me that, sir, we apologized, but you need to be deported back to the States and same flight. So on the way back, once I landed, my friends came to pick me up and said, hey, what are you thinking, dude? You're so dumb. What happened if you got yourself thrown into the jail? And you're going to create so much problem and troubles. What I was thinking through, yeah, I should have thought through a little bit more. But in the end, what really happened is that, you know, I don't believe so. Because if I did not go, those two people that I shared the gospel on the way there and on the way back, they might not have heard the gospel. And besides that, the man that's sitting right next to me was so bizarre. He was like, why are you still smiling, talking to me? Aren't you supposed to be crying and feeling sad because you're on the deportation? And the best of all, I think out of this trip, my faith has become so bold and stronger like never before, that I talk to anybody that I encounter about the gospel and whenever I go, without shame and without fear. So you see, when you have the face-to-face encounter with Jesus, you will be transformed into the man and woman of God. Now, have you encountered Jesus in such an intimate way? Are you desperately seeking him every day? Guys, eyes on me. I hope you do. You know, I pray that you will. You see, as a Christian, Galatians 3:29, it says so clearly that when we profess our faith in Jesus, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promises. But what kind of promises, right, you ask? You know, let's continue to find out in verse 2. The promise from God is verse 2, And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Now, what is God doing here? Follow along with me, all right? Right after God called Abram to leave his country, three promises God has made right away with Abram. The first one, Abram will become a great nation. Second, Abram will be blessed. Third, Abram will be a great name. That's fascinating. Why is that? Not only will Abram be blessed, but who else will be blessed? In verse 3, all right? I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is making this promise with Abram only to enable him to be a blessing of the families of the earth, despite the human sin caused by Adam and Eve since Genesis 3. And God continues to carry out his redemptive work for men throughout the entire Bible as one big story. In light of the promises God has made with Abram, it's known as the Abrahamic covenant. And a lot of you guys are always asking questions that, how can I understand the Bible, right? Bible has so many people, so many things and events going on. How can I really comprehend what Bible is about? But I want to encourage you to look at Bible in one lens and in scope. You know, God is a promise-keeping God to call Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses. He used priests, judges, kings, prophets throughout the generation to bring the redemption to people. And people still despised him, hated him, turned their back from him. But guess what? He did not give up on men. You know, God continued to be faithful to ultimately send whose son? His son, Jesus, to be born as a baby who knew no sin to become sin, and to carry the weight of the wrath for all mankind, and go through suffering, go through pain, and go through shame, to be nailed, to be crushed, and to be crucified and die on this cross for such unworthy men and women like me and you and you and you, and you. Do you know how deep the Father's love for us? You know, I was always reminded that my King who loves me, you know, who died for me on that cross, even way before I was born, and he rose again, right? On the third day to conquer the work of the enemy and to destroy the power of sin. As people say that, I love this. I know you guys probably heard this before. Michael Jordan conquered the basketball court, you know, and Alexander the Great conquered Europe, and Genghis Khan conquered Asia. But nobody has ever conquered death but Jesus Christ, the Lord of our Savior. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Yes. Thank you. Follow with me. This is the gospel. This is why Jesus came. This is why we celebrate Christmas, put it on the tree, going out shopping every year. This is the greatest fulfillment in the Abrahamic covenant. God is a promise-keeping God to send his one and only son, Jesus, to be the final atonement and the greatest blessing to this sinful world. You see, we are blessed by God. It's not because you are good, but because he is good. See, we are loved. It's not because we are faithful, but because who is faithful? Because God is faithful. That changed everything. I don't know about you, how you feel, but that frees us and humbles us. And it's not about what we can do for the Lord, but it's about what he wants to do through us, in us, and through for us in light of his promises. You see, a promise of God is already given to us. But the question today is, right? Guys, eyes on me. Almost done. Almost there. is why are we still not the people of mission? If we know that we need to pursue the encounter with God, if we know clearly the promise of God, but why are we still not going out relentlessly, tirelessly to reach out to the people, maybe your neighborhood, your classmates, or even your family? And here's my last point, a response to God. In verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. It's like a grandpa's age, okay? Your grandpa or grandma's age. So what is Abram's response here? He went. That's right. Good job. Imagine him as the most righteous and richest person in that time. He probably had thousands and millions of reasons not to go. But guess what? He responded by faith to go without knowing what the future holds at the age of 25. Crazy. Sorry, 75. Did I say 25? So 75. With nothing, but only the assurance of God's promise. But what does that say to us, right? I mean, Abram is like so long ago, 1,000 years ago. What does that anything to do with us? But I want to tell you this, all right? Keep up with me. Every time in the Bible when God calls people to go, it always involves with cost. It will cost your popularity. It will cost your pride. Cost your comforts, your cost, your maybe family, your wealth. And in today's time and age, a simple thing even like your phone. So anyone has a 10R, 10S yet? Oh, yeah, okay, that's good. Using iPhone, you know, it's a very iconic and man, so glorious, right? Majestic, right? How can anyone not to love phone like this? And I want to ask you guys, how many of you have phone? Raise your hands. Show your hands. Okay, good. Most of them, 90%, 95%, good. If you don't have phone, don't ever get one, all right? And, okay, let me ask you, how many of you cannot live without it? Like you go, you take your phone to sleep, you take your phone to shower, You take your phone to do number two. You know, you gotta have it. Once you lost it, what happened? You were like, you panic. You become a handicap, right? You cannot do anything. Because we're conditioned. We're addicted to the phone. Without it, our lives collapse. But I want to ask you, you know, God actually wants us to cherish the things that he created. But at the same time, hey guys, Isaac, at the same time, you have to really just let go of the phone in your life. It's okay, the real one's here. That's an old phone, it's an old phone. But see, I'm convicted. This is the addiction that we have. This is also the message to myself, not just for you, all right? We have to let go the things in our life to be able to become the men and women of mission. See, following Christ is costly. What is the cost of following Jesus? I wonder if there is any in your life. See, one of the reasons that we're so ignorant and to respond to the call of God is what? Because we have been deceived by the culture, this demonic culture of striving for our own comforts and contentment. We helplessly thought that the whole universe is what? Revolving around myself. We have this consumer type of mentality who made Christians nowadays no different from the world. You go out today, people cannot tell that you're a Christian. See, instead of responding to the call of God, we choose to respond to the comforts of the world. A preacher, Francis Chan, once said this. I mean, if, I don't know if you guys know him. He's Asian, and as you can tell, why would we need to experience the comfort if our lives are already comfortable? In other words, if your life is comfortable, why would you need the comfort? And I'm not talking about the blanket. you use every night, talking about comforter as Jesus Christ, the Lord of our Savior. Let me go a little deeper. You know, I hate to burst your bubble, but the cause I'm talking about, it's not even for you to sacrifice your winter break, your summer break, your spring break, to go on a mission trip, on service projects, to mission trip, or even attending your weekly fellowship on Friday nights and even Sunday morning. Those are great and cute. But guess what? Satan is not going to be intimidated for you to go on a mission trip once or twice a year, or attending a fellowship on Sunday service once a week. But he will be intimidated when you become the church of yourself. In other words, to live missionally is more than going on a mission trip, service project, going to church, but it's having a vibrant and thriving relationship with Jesus by being the church to live missionally in every days of your life, despite the circumstances. You see, as Christians, mission is not something we just talk about or participate. Mission is something we are called to do. The heartbeat of God, the Missio Dei, the mission of God. God is a God who sent himself to the earth to bring the good news to people. And mission is who we are. Do I have more time for one more story? Yeah, okay. All right, I'm going to do it. Anyway, so 2 years ago, I was at the Dallas State Fair to share the gospel. But that's probably one of the most challenging and most horrific experience I ever had. How many of you been to State Fair before? Good. What do you do when you go to State Fair? Yeah. Take on the rides, right? Have fun and funnel cake. Party time. Happy birthday, you know, blessed. You know, so people there are really careless about, I mean, I'm sharing the gospel, right? I'm trying to just share the good news. People are so careless and arrogant, sometimes depraved. They mocked me. They are trying to just even curse me out, saying, "Hey, get out of my way. Don't waste my time. I'm not here to for this Jesus stuff going on. Well, I don't know what you guys are doing." So I was feeling defeated. I got beat up by the sun and sweating like a pig. A pig doesn't sweat, like a dog. And thinking that these people are so arrogant, so heartless and depraved. And I'm just wasting my time. What a joke. That's what I was thinking. But at the very moment while I was about to give on to pick up myself and my backpack and about to go, the Spirit came upon to me. He says, "Son, look at the crowd. See, there are hundreds of thousands of people walking back and forth without knowing their final destinations. That is leading them to distraction, devastation, and eternal death. And did you forget your BC days that you desired no part with me, spitting me out of your mouth, lusting after pride, money, success, and sex? You were so cynical and ungrateful and took everything you had for granted, everyone you know, so lightly. You were just like those people, arrogant, depraved, and heartless. Before I purchased you with the blood of my son, they need to hear the message of the gospel. But how could they believe without someone going out to share? Now go back to the booth to love on these people I love and I created." And immediately, guess what? The Spirit crushed me and humbled me. And all of a sudden, I jumped back in to the line that with the Spirit restored and my passion rekindled. It's no longer about my own needs and my own agenda, embarrassment, but about trusting that God is the one who is mighty to save. Whether or not a person changes, God takes great delight. We respond by faith to obey his command. I know, it was a crazy day. So, you know, I'm still... It's cannot recognize it's me, right? That's me, that's right. Well, otherwise, I wouldn't show that. Why would I show that? Have you ever paid attention to the 100 and 1,000 people walking on the campus, like walking on your school and even your neighborhood? They are actually dying spiritually without hope, slowly. Or you are dwelling in your little space, your world, play the League of Legends, all day and every day. Do you know that God places you in the school and people around you for a divine mission only you can accomplish? I'm dying to go into your school, to go to your classmates, to tell them about Jesus, evangelize to them. But I will be kicked out from by your school. They won't listen to me, but they will listen to you, but they will be around you, right? They're stuck unless they transfer out. I want to challenge you to take a step back from your crazy and headache schedule, to pay close attention to those around you. Instead of waiting to join a mission trip next year, start now. From your neighbor, your roommates, people sitting right next to you in class, your neighbor living right next to you. I have a friend who used to say that, you know, his mission field is 5 feet within him. And my awesome wife, you know, you just saw, always ask a prayer request when we go out to eat. Sometimes, you know, you'll be surprised how much that you can actually reach out, minister to the people who are working in the restaurant. Guys, in this crazy time of the age, our world is in need to see the love through us. There's so much hate today, right? Especially from our leadership, our government of the country. But we don't want to, you know, don't get me started. But every day, everybody is waiting in line to lecture everybody else. While there's no one, rarely anybody, is waiting in line to love and care to share the good news with them. Just imagine with me. If each one of us here in this room is fired up to turn sharing the gospel into a lifestyle, to reach out to your friends in this season of Christmas. See, what a beautiful and powerful picture of this year's Christmas would look like. See, I told my college students back in my church that I'm not really interested to build up an army, the group of audience. But I want to build up an army of God. It's not about our comforts, guys. It's all about God's command. I'm dying to see that God will rise up a new generation of army of God who is ready to say, yes, Lord, I will do it. And there is a cost. I will stand in a gap of a bleeding and a broken world to be able to deliver the good news. And to those people still far away from you, guys, we have no time to waste. And there are people still waiting to be saved. See, our days are numbered. Our tomorrow is not guaranteed. God is sending you today. Will you go? Will you go? So in closing, so Korean missionary's story did not just end there. 2 months later, if I can have a pianist to help me out here. It's a little music. You know, something that this journalist actually found out that the people shared that when they were captured, Pastor Bay, the first one who died, actually told them, hey, they are going to start to kill each person one by one. I'm going to volunteer myself to die first. And then another pastor jumped in and said that, hey, you have family. I don't have family. And I'm older, all right? I'm also a leader, too. Let me do it first. And I was like, are you kidding me? If you are fighting over the restaurant bills, like your parents with their friends, that makes perfect sense. But they're fighting over, they're fighting over who to die first. How crazy is that? This is those are two pastors, I think, who died at this time. My mind blown when I heard the news. It's been 10 years past. Their legacy continued to be a strong impact in my life. I don't know about you, but what is your mission? And what is your response? You see, I have no power to change any one of you here, and that's not my job in such a short time, but it is my burning heart and earnest prayer that you will be saturated by the life of Abraham to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit live deep inside of you. You have that power, guys. Through the pursuit of God's encounter, remember God's promise and respond to God's command. And in the end, to be the church in every day of your lives, regardless of the cost, the circumstance, to reach the people at your school, in your neighborhood, even in the midst of this youth group, the community, one life at a time. Let me pray for us. Father, we just want to come before you into your presence with our humble posture. God, I don't know. I mean, I tried everything I could, Lord. I thank you for your words. I thank you that it's so free, so comforting to know that it's not about what I say. It's about your Holy Spirit that is going to penetrate each person's lives here. I know some of them are playing the phone and falling asleep, but God, I know you have a good purpose, reason for them to be here. So Father, I pray you will encounter them. Help them to know the promise that you have allowed them to receive when they profess their faith in Jesus Christ. God, may you be glorified in this season. Help us not to waste any opportunity that we have to be able to proclaim the word of God, the true purpose, reason, what this season is about. God, turn people around, back to you. Come back to your feast, that we will be faithful to constantly, to relentlessly, tirelessly reach out to people around us. Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious, powerful name. Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to skip this song. So let's go straight to blessings. And if you guys can stand up with me, and also can the ushers come up for the offering.